Chapter 1. Leah. Death and Other Inconveniences. I rushed through the parking ramp lot to the elevator and across the skyway to the hospital, all the while checking for texts before I start my shift in the emergency room. I greet the first resident on duty for this overnight shift, and a couple of fellow nurses I've not worked with before. The hospital has been hiring traveling nurses to keep up with the schedules. My first patient in triage is a middle-aged woman experiencing chest pains. I enter her vitals while my coworker attaches the ECG probes and then checks her oxygen and temperature. In the back of my mind, I'm wondering where my mom is and why she hasn't returned any texts throughout the day. "Describe the pains," I ask the patient. My coworker rushes out the sliding door with the ECG results in hand to have the doctor review the results. "Tightness in my chest went straight through my back and lasted about 15 minutes. "Any shortness of breath?" I delve. "Yes, but it was slight."
"And that was yesterday, so what happened today?" I ask.
"I was dizzy and lightheaded, so I took a nap but woke up worse. There was numbness in my hands and feet. Then I closed my eyes. I felt as if I was twirling," the patient responds.
"And that went away?" I question.
"Yes."
"And on a scale of 1 through 10, if any, what is your level of discomfort now?" My coworker peeks in to leave the ECG results near the door, which means there was probably nothing wrong with the test for this patient. I finish up with her and send her and the two family members who joined her to sit back in the waiting room. The ER is busy tonight. Breathing problems, chest pains, head wounds, broken limbs, and respiratory viruses. The entire shift zooms along before I realize it's morning outside, and after 6 days in a row, I'm off the next 3 days. "Hello?" I skip the text and voicemails and answer my dad's call from where I sit in the break room, surrounded by eavesdropping coworkers. "Where was she?"
"We don't know where she is yet," my dad responds. "Her car and the park's vehicle are still at the ranger station. The police and her fellow park staff planned on searching at first light. I'm about to head out there too."
"Shouldn't you stay home in case she shows up there?" I suggest.
"That's what the police said, but I need to feel like I'm doing something," dad says.
"I know. I'll head over there after I run home and get changed."
"Okay, I'll stay put. Call me when you hear something," dad responds.
"Will do."
I rush across the skyway to the parking ramp, then take 2 steps at a time to the correct level and sprint to my SUV. Despite not sleeping in the last 24 hours, I'm pumped to search for mom. My mom, Carrie Dawson, is a full-time park ranger and hobby writer who just published her 8th novel. Dad, who took early retirement, wants her to cut back on hours at the local state park where she works, with about 12 other Emily Henry State Park employees. Everyone from maintenance to naturalist to gift shop personnel. All those people, as well as a few dozen campers, and nobody saw anything. As for her books, they started as a hobby and then turned into a nice passive income that she enjoys. They're mainly mysteries inspired by local events. Sometimes I can see family members' traits in the character she creates. After I change and speed the 20 miles out to Emily Henry State Park, where I'm not surprised to see Dad joining in one of the search parties. The 12 groups of 6 are gathered under the picnic pavilion, where they get instructions on the grid search.
"Ranger Carrie Dawson could be anywhere, so we need to be thorough. And she might be hurt, so the lead in your group will have the first aid supplies. Stay together. Don't wander off alone. We have coyotes and an occasional wolf sighting this far out from the city. Your group leader also has the radio, should you need to be picked up as well. It's a hot one out today. Stay hydrated and safe."
Mom's fellow 50-year-old wilderness first responder ranger, Tammy Andrews, directs. Tammy is taller than Mom, some might say lanky and awkward. Mom and I both share a mocha shade of brown with green eyes, and Mom has warm colorings in her skin and a tad longer than shoulder-length hair, whereas Tammy is a platinum blonde with a bob. I look at the missing person flyer, which reveals the park's latest photo of Mom with the environmentalist cropped out. Mom's smile appears sincere, but everyone in our family knows that she hates having her picture taken. I fold the flyer and put it in my back pocket and follow Tammy's group. Our group heads across the road to the campgrounds, where I wait in the modern restrooms for everyone to leave, then check every stall while another lady heads back to check the showers. When one of the guys returns from clearing the men's restrooms, we head down the first aisle and spread out to show the campers the flyer and inquire whether they saw anything. "Please, look closely," I request of a couple of elderly campers cleaning up after breakfast.